Here we go. Locked On 49ers. We're getting into these draft picks. Deep dive. We've been looking at a lot of Danny Gray film. Who did the 49ers draft in round three? Pick 105 in the 2022 NFL draft. Danny Gray scouting report. Wide receiver depth chart. How does he fit in to the San Francisco 49ers? Coming up right now.
You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers. Brian Peacock and Eric Crocker with you at BD Peacock, at Eric underscore Crocker. Thanks for making us your first listen here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. As promised, we would be doing deep dives and giving you scouting reports on every prospect the 49ers drafted and some undrafted free agents as well. Can't promise a full episode for every undrafted free agent, but I think we'll be able to hit on almost all of the latest, newest rookie San Francisco 49ers. And I'm pumped for it, and I'm pumped for the rookie class. Croc, and first up is Danny Gray, one of the player that was most commonly mocked to the 49ers that they actually ended up drafting.
Yep.
And the guy I watched the most out of the prospects, I think it was between Drake Jackson and Danny Gray, who I watched the most pre-draft and watched a lot of these guys post-draft as well. Before we get deep into the scouting report and really look at how they fit in and where the wide receiver depth chart is, I want to talk a little bit, Croc, about just who Danny Gray is, where he came from, height, weight, speed, those types of things. And when you watch him play, you can tell he's got a stride. He is a former track guy. In fact, not only was he just a track guy, as a senior in high school, Gray won the Texas 3A state championship in the 100 meters with a 10.70 time and the 4x100 relay, and set a personal best in the 100 meters at 10.59 at regionals. And it's a pretty blazing time. Texas is like the mecca of track in America too, right? So this is
they are fast. Yeah, this last like year or so, there was one track meet out in Texas where everyone was running like 10.2s and 10.3s. I'm like, what the hell is going on over there?
That is a fast time. So he is a dude, but he is a football player, and he went to play first at Blinn Community College in Texas, which Croc had some nice knowledge off the air about Blinn Community College, and I'd heard of it before, and I'd wondered if that was like a sort of a track community college, or why I'd heard of Blinn Community College, and it's where Cam Newton went.
Yep.
Cam Newton won, what was it? What'd you say? He won a national championship at each spot, right?
At each when he was a freshman at Florida, won the national title. Tim Tebow was a quarterback. Obviously, he had the situation or whatever that got him kicked out of Florida or whatever happened. So he went to Blinn Community College, won a national title there, and then went on to Auburn. Played 1 year at Auburn, had a great year, won the national title.
Looking at Danny Gray's stats, don't have the JC stats from 2018 and 2019, but he ended up transferring to SMU, Southern Methodist University, and immediately made an impact there in eight games in 2020, 33 catches for 448 yards, four touchdowns. He did drop three passes and rushed the ball a couple of times. Missed a couple of games due to injury there for SMU in 2020. Came back in 2021 last year, his senior year, 49 catches, 803 yards, 16.4 yards per catch, which is a pretty nice clip there. And nine touchdowns, dropped seven passes, led the team in receiving yards and receiving touchdowns. He missed another two games last year and was first team all AAC at SMU. So those are the stats for Danny Gray. Not eye-popping statistics, but you know, he had a nice little career there for a couple of years and was definitely their biggest playmaker at SMU on offense last year was Danny Gray. 5'11", and you know what's funny is how different some of the lengths are between the combine and the pro days. It's really weird. Like, he lost an eighth of an inch going from the combine to the pro day. So I don't know what happened. Like, they smashed his head down a little harder or something, or he grew his hair out for the combine and got it cut for his pro day. But something just under 6 feet, 5'11 and 3/4 or 5'11 and 7/8, depending on which one of those measurements you trust. Somewhere
Kyle loves those 5'11 receivers, huh? Ayuk, Debo, and now
all
Danny Gray.
5'11 and a half and 6 feet. They're all just under 6 feet. And he fits right in. He'll look exactly like those. He's kind of built like a skinnier Debo. He'll look a little bit like that.
He's thinner than how much does he weigh?
So he gained 11 pounds between his combine. Clearly, a lot of these guys were lightest at the combine because they're trying to run the fastest. So he was 186 at the combine, showed up 197 at his pro day.
Okay, still lighter than Ayuk, because I think Ayuk weighed in at the combine at 205. So he was
a little bit, and Ayuk was a little bit more rocked up, a little bit bigger, and Danny Gray's kind of all, and I guess Ayuk is kind of that way too. Ayuk is all arms. Legs. Ayuk's got a crazy like broad shoulders though too. Ayuk is built really weird, built like a Spider-Man. But Danny Gray's just kind of mostly legs, shorter torso, shorter arms, 31 7/8 at the combine, 31 5/8 at the pro day. Hands again were also 2/8 of an inch smaller at the pro day, 3 9 3/8. But you know, solid arm length, solid hands, everything's fine there.
It's so weird how the measurements are different.
Yeah, it's weird.
And it's like all his measurements.
You know,
I don't know. Maybe if he like, I don't want to say shrunk, but you know, sometimes like if you eat a lot of sodium, like your hands and feet can swell up. Or I wonder if there was something where that he did to where it changed all his measurements, because they're all different. That's very unique.
I'm sure it's just whoever's doing the testing, and the way they're doing the testing is different. Like when you're measuring the arm length, are you going from like, you know, which bone are you measuring from? And I don't even know where it's officially supposed to be when they're measuring those. Did you ever get that arm length measurement?
Yeah, 32.
32? And where did they measure it from?
I don't remember. I just held my arms up.
32. Solid though. That's good arm length. And actually, yeah, 31 7/8, whatever. He's almost 32. So it's fine arm length and everything like that. And we shouldn't be nitpicking that stuff anyway. But wanted to throw it all out there in this episode so everyone knows exactly who the prospect is that the 49ers got in Danny Gray. Ran that 4.33 at the combine. Didn't run at his pro day, but he did do the agilities that he did not do at the combine. He did those at his pro day. 4.37 short shuttle and 7.38 three cone, which is not great. Kyle Shanahan's
Say that again.
So his short shuttle was 4.37. His three cone was 7.38.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's not a good three cone time. And Kyle Shanahan loves his three cones, but this is a different style of receiver. This is the speed guy. So he's not. And I think you see that a little bit on tape, right? He's a straight line runner. He's not a break you off type of a runner. He's not a jitterbug when he gets the ball in his hands either. He's like, there's the crease, and I'm going to run as fast as I can toward the end zone in the direction of the fewest defenders.
Right.
So that is the height, weight, speed. That is Danny Gray statistically. Next, we'll get into the film and what does Danny Gray do on the football field, and we'll talk about how he fits into the 49ers depth chart. But I want to let the folks out there know about Bet Online, your number one source for all the betting stats and sports information this season. How about some NFL rookie odds now? Now that we've seen their teams at Bet Online, you can bet on who will start more games in the 2022 regular season, Kenny Pickett or Mitch Trubisky. My money's on Pickett there, and he is the favorite to start more games for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Who will start more games in the 2022 regular season between the rookie quarterbacks Matt Corral, Desmond Ridder, Malik Willis, or Sam Howell? I would probably go Matt Corral there, but you know, maybe Desmond Ridder getting some action. He's a very similar quarterback to the guy he's backing up in Marcus Mariota there. I would be shocked if Willis or Howell play a lot. That would probably be pretty telling about how the seasons go there with the Titans. Or who did Howell even get drafted to? Washington?
Washington Commanders.
Washington Commanders in round 5. Yeah. So, you know, Drake London receiving yards. Olave. I'm not seeing any 49er draft picks because they didn't have any first round picks or draft any quarterbacks. Well, Brock Purdy should have been on that list. But you can find all those rookie props at Bet Online, Super Bowl futures, NBA playoffs, obviously, Major League Baseball, esports, anything you're looking to bet on sport wise and Vegas casino game wise, you can find at Bet Online where the game starts.
Yeah.
Thanks again, everybody, for making Locked On 49ers your first listen. Make sure you are tuning in to Croc on the Locked On NFL Draft Show, still breaking down all these prospects and all this draft stuff, as are Matt Williamson and I on the Peacock and Williamson NFL Show. And you are going to want to tune in to Peacock and Williamson, now available on YouTube. As of Tuesday, we are going to be going live, and it will be on there every day now on the Locked On NFL channel, the same channel you could find Croc all weekend long during the draft. During the fantastic draft show, now you can find Peacock and Williamson there. If you can't get enough of me here on Locked On 49ers, you're going to want to subscribe to Locked On NFL. All right, Croc, scouting report on Danny Gray. Obviously, speed, 4.3 guy, track guy, and he's fast on the football field, but he's fast at certain times, right?
Right. I think straight line. I don't even know straight line. I don't know when he's fast. He is fast on the field.
He's fast
and he's at times fast. You could see it. Like if you watch highlights of him, which that's one of my things. I just don't watch highlights, but someone posted them in my comments, so I was able to see it. If you watch highlights of him, it's like, yes, the speed. He's fast. I see it. And I did watch early in the TCU game. There was a blown coverage. He caught a crosser and you could just see him hit this crease and it was like, boom, speed. I'm like, whoa, he's fast.
Outrunning angles. And I think that's the most exciting part and the biggest strength of his game and the most exciting part for a Shanahan offense is Shanahan's pretty good at getting guys in space. And so if Shanahan can do the work and get you wide open in space with the football, he can outrun some dudes. And, you know, they're going to be faster in the NFL than they were in college in the AAC. But dude can fly, and he can outrun some angles in the NFL as well. So that's going to be fun when Kyle Shanahan gets the ball in his hands in space. And he might not be the crispest route runner right now, but he can definitely get open doing crossers. And I would say if I had to rank his routes in best routes to worst route, you know, shallow crosser, deep crosser, post, then maybe slant, then maybe go route, right? And then the hard-breaking stuff, that's where he's going to have to develop. If he wants to really be a feature in Shanahan's offense, he's going to have to get better at, like, the stop routes and the dig routes and some of those things.
Yeah, there have been people kind of, you know, commenting, whether it was on my YouTube channel or, you know, I could see them in my comments and mentions on Twitter, where it's almost like I'm being too hard on him, but I'm not. I'm just talking about what I'm seeing, like, where he's at right now and just areas where he needs to improve on. And if you look at him, and it just depends on what you are expecting from him. All right. If he's coming into this offense to be Travis Benjamin, then I think he has no issues doing that. So whatever the 49ers did with Travis Benjamin, how they utilize him, sometimes to pull coverage and do some vertically pushing things where, you know, obviously they didn't really, I mean, they maybe threw one deep ball to him. Maybe they, and you know, obviously the difference in quarterbacks, Jimmy Garoppolo, are a little reluctant to take those deep shots, but it was clear that Benjamin didn't have a big, role in the offense, right? But it was very specific. And I think Danny Gray, like Benjamin, I think you have to be very specific with his role. Now, one thing I saw, and it was very clear, he really struggled against man coverage in the games I watched. So you talked about the route running. He struggles to utilize the threat of his speed in route. And it's fairly consistent. And at one point, I'm like, man, this is just Marcus Jones. Maybe Marcus Jones is just that good. And then you watch the other corners for Houston, and they were playing him the same way, where it was more like we're playing the guy that runs a 4.6 as opposed to a guy that runs a 4.3. And I can know what they're thinking because I played the position, so I feel it, right? I can feel what they're doing and how they feel threatened. I'm like, man, they're not threatened at all by his speed. That's one thing. I'm like, well, he runs a 4.3. Where is that at? Let's say DK Metcalf, right? DK Metcalf was a guy who, you know, he wasn't the crisper route runner, right? But when he released at the line of scrimmage, he was really quick. He moved the defensive backs, and he was very explosive off of the ball, and he just outrun you. I don't see that on a consistent basis from Danny Gray. And I'm seeing more times than not, especially with some of his releases, more in one place. Then he tries to go from there, and guys just not buying it. They get hands on him, and they just run with him down the field. And I'm like, gosh, you got to learn. Now, these are all, like, you can teach it, right? Like, and I don't want people to think, like, oh, man, Croc, you're being hard on him. If he was any better, then he would have been a higher pick, right? Like, he's a late third round, pretty much the last pick in the third round, because he needs a lot of work in certain aspects of his game. And maybe when they brought him in for a private workout, or maybe at his pro day, they saw a different version of him. Maybe he was better at his route running. Maybe he did look more sudden. Maybe he did look like more explosive off the ball and send his routes down. I just haven't been able to see that. I can only go off of what I see on film. And so far, and I hate using this word because I think a lot of people just throw it out there a whole lot, but he's a very raw prospect.
Yep, he is raw as a route runner. I think that's totally fair. And you had a great tweet thread that showed some clips and some video of it. Guys, go check that out at Eric_Crocker if you want to see the video of Croc breaking down some of these things. And when we talk about not always seeing the speed. If you see a cut up of highlights, you see him blazing and running after the catch and making all these big plays, you know, maybe deep balls down the field. But then you watch him route after route, just after, like one after another during a game without seeing the highlight of just the best stuff. You see him struggle to get off a press at times, right? You see him, can you talk a little bit more about not using his speed? Because I think that would probably surprise some people. It's like, you're a 4-3 guy. How are you not able to utilize 4-3 speed while you're running a route?
All right. So there's this thing I got from this training program, Speed Guys, out in Florida. And they use this term called high-end controlled speed. All right. And this is why sometimes the guys that are 4-5-5 guys are the best route runners. Because they can, in a 10-yard split, your 10-yard split's really not going to be that much difference, right? What guys getting off. A lot of times these guys have like build-up speed. So a guy like Danny Gray, his first 10 yards might be very similar to someone that runs a 4-5-5. Now it's how
go ahead. I've got his 10-yard split right here. It is a 1-5-1, which is pretty good. The best 10-yard splits, though, are sub-1.50, but 1.51 is pretty fast. And he's run track, so he knows how to release off of out of blocks, I'm sure. But football speed is different. And I love some of those clips you showed on YouTube of him, and there would be another receiver on his team that's not as fast as him, but that other receiver got to 10 yards before he got to 10 yards when he's bursting off the line of scrimmage. And I think it's him maybe knowing, I'm not running deep on this route, so I shouldn't open it up because I need to be controlled so I can hit that comeback.
Right. Now, the best guys, route runners, are guys that can hit it and still sit that route down, right? Like a dramatic example example of this is Chad Johnson. Like Chad Johnson can run 10 yards as hard as he can and just boom, boom, two steps and he's out of his break, right? Like now that's the extreme version of it. But if you watch a lot of other guys and how they are at the top of routes, they can get to that top speed and be very under control. Tyreek Hill does a very good job of this. It's something he had to work at. He's really good at it where boom, they sit that route down and they're able to get back to the quarterback, show the numbers. And it just pushes the cornerback upfield. And when you're watching him against Houston, against TCU, you see a lot of examples of, man, the cornerback's not really threatened at all by his speed. He's not really getting them upfield. Now, one of the first plays against Houston, he ran a post-stop route. And the cornerback, which was Marcus Jones, he was playing off coverage. And I know, like, post-stop route, like, those are hard to guard because he's digging at you, and then he goes post, and then you have to, like, start getting upfield because it's like, okay, I got to run cross-field with this guy that runs a 4-3, and then they set the route down, and it should naturally create separation. And he ran it against Marcus Jones, and Marcus Jones just sat on it the whole time. And I'm just like, gosh, he wasn't threatened at all. So either this dude, Marcus Jones, is amazing, or Danny Gray just has a little bit of work to do with selling his routes a little more. And that is something, again, that he can work on. And I also want to preface that he was a late third-round pick for a reason. These were probably things that other teams saw. It was like, look, you know, we like this guy more. Or, you know, Tyquan Thornton, he could use a little work at the top of his route, but his speed showed up much more consistent than what I saw from Danny Gray. And that's why Tyquan Thornton went so high.
Tyquan Thornton, who went in the second round to the Patriots, thought it was a reach. I think consensus had Danny Gray slightly higher than Tyquan Thornton, but in a pretty similar range there in the third, fourth round range, or probably more like fourth, fifth. For Tyquan Thornton, maybe. But Tyquan Thornton, fastest 40 time at 4.28 amongst wide receivers, fastest 10-yard split as well, 1.41, which is pretty blazing compared to all the 10 yards I'm looking at right now. Danny Gray, pretty middle of the road as far as the 10 yards now that I look at all these wide receivers. In fact, I'm surprised guys like George Pickens had a faster 10-yard split, 1.50. Chris Olave, 1.45, had, I think, the second best 10-yard split. Him and Christian Watson were 1.45. 1.46 for Alec Pierce. Let's see. Treylon Burks had one of the worst at 1.57. Garrett Wilson was 1.53. So that wasn't as good. So anyway, I don't know how much you get from the 10-yard splits, but I think it's more about just how you run routes, how you
being able to control that. It's being able to get up to that and then being able to control it. And when I say, like, you know, the difference, right? One guy might be slightly in front. If we're talking about 1.50 and 1.51 and 1.56, it's a guy slightly in front. But getting up to that speed, how well can you control sitting down in route? And that's an area where he can improve. And it takes a lot of hard work, but it's not something Eli. It's like, oh no, he is just this. Now, one of the concerning things, you talked about his agility drills and times. Not great. So he really has to work on, this is what he can do to really help himself. Work on his releases. Because if he works on freeing himself up more at the line of scrimmage and then getting in route, he'll be fine. But right now what I'm seeing is he's not moving guys at the line of scrimmage. They're getting hands on and they're just reading him down because he's never able to get to that top speed. That's what I see on a consistent basis. But again, there are some of the explosive plays I'm pretty sure the 49ers like. And real quick, there were some clear outs. Whereas it's very clear to me, like, oh man, like not saying, oh, this is all he is. But if you do look and you see him get off the line of scrimmage, explode out from like a bunch, he will pull two guys and clear out things underneath for other guys. And if Kyle Shanahan sees that, he's like, oh, I can utilize a guy with that type of speed. I mean, I've been doing it with Kendrick Bourne, or I've been doing it with Brandon Ayuk. This guy has a different type of speed going vertical. And if he doesn't pull two guys and it's a one-on-one matchup, maybe he can go by them and Trey Lance can air it out. So, you know, there are the benefits of his speed, but if we're just talking about him being more of a, like, oh man, Deebo Samuel's tripping, are we going to trade him? And is Danny Gray going to replace him? Like, I think he's far away from that right now, but potentially, you know, with a lot of work, can get there.
Okay, let's talk about usage, where he's going to start, where he could finish, what kind of player he is, and how he fits into the 49ers' current roster now at wide receiver. Next, I want to talk about Rock Auto first, though. With the increasing numbers of makes and models, it's pretty much impossible for your local chain store to stock all the parts you might need for your car or truck. And why endure those often pointless and seemingly intimidating questioning about your Honda Odyssey LX? Is it an LX or an EX? My Mazda CX-5, it's like, is it a Touring, a Grand Touring? I never remember what the heck it is, but you go to rockauto.com and figure it out online a lot easier. And guess what? You're not being charged 30%, 50%, or even 100% more for the same parts like you are at a chain store or a car dealership. How about that same Honda Odyssey? A fuel pump is $353 from a chain store, only $216 from rockauto.com, which is a family-owned business that's been serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years, and Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customers, professionals, and do-it-yourselfers alike. And even if you're not a hardcore car aficionado and don't know how to take the whole thing apart and do major repairs, you can find tail lamps and motor oil and new carpet for the interior of your car as well. So they got you covered at rockauto.com. Get over there to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Right locked on in the How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know we sent you amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. One more question, Croc. And this is the tough one for me, trying to project where Danny Gray can get to. Did you ever see him break off a route? Like, did you see it in his game where you're like, okay, there's the movement skill I want. So I know I've seen he can do it. So let's get him doing that more, because you might have watched more film than I did in more different games. But when I watched him, I never really saw he broke off that route.
I saw it one time against TCU out of the slot where he did a really good job of and he originally lined up more of a tight split, and then they motioned the guy outside of him. So he kind of ended up by default being in the slot, and he pushed upfield and then stemmed like he's going slot fade and then sat the route down. And you see him get the corner going upfield. And I was like, there it is. There it is. Can you do that more often? And maybe 49ers are seeing that and they're like, there it is. If other people are going to sleep on him and they're not going to, you know, care for him, and maybe they are thinking he'll be their fourth or fifth round, but we see that right there. That gives us a little glimmer of hope that we can turn this guy into a better route runner. If there's anything that was encouraging, it was that one. And again, I want to preference this by saying not everyone has to be a great route runner. All right. I don't think anyone would say Debo's a great route runner or AJ Brown, but however you win, you have to be able to win that way consistently. So what I'm seeing so far is I didn't see a consistent way that translates to the NFL in which he wins, unless you're just talking about him running a crossing route versus zone or running, you know, but man-to-man coverage, that wasn't necessarily a strength of his. So I think those are things he has to work to continue to get more consistent at. And I think, it starts at the line of scrimmage.
Last sort of, you know, thing in the cocktail of what a wide receiver is those ball skills. And he's got the speed. And so you see, 4-3, the 49ers got their downfield guy, right? How was he catching the ball downfield? Because I like the way he tracked the ball, but I'm not sure if he's the guy that's going to be just making big play after big play and going up and mossing guys either down the field.
Well, he did it. I didn't see a whole lot of opportunity for it. Again, I saw that thing where someone sent me into some plays and I was watching my boy like, man, what you think? So I saw on that, I saw him tracking some passes in over the shoulder, some catches. I think he did that. So if you watch the highlights, you'll see it. While I was watching him, I remember the game against Houston, he did catch one down the sideline going against Marcus Jones. Again, there was like zero separation and this is all the way down the field. Marcus Jones is that great. Patriots drafted him, but zero separation. And then Marcus Jones kind of slipped going up at the to attack the ball. And then you see Gray kind of go up and try to high point the ball and then kind of coming into his chest. But like, he did get that one. So that was the one where I saw it. I saw it there. And there was one on the sideline. Again, no separation at all. But he did a terrific job with his body control, adjusting and kind of toe tapping. And even with the safety flying underneath, he missed the ball. He still was able to bring the catch in. So there were a couple catches where I was like, man, that was good stuff right there. I, you know, you may, it's hard, but that's good though. That's good.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned the toe tapper. Cause I remember seeing that one too. And I was like, okay, I like that. I like seeing him make a play on the ball down the field. And it seems like he naturally tracks the ball and he does have that speed. So the breakaway routes, you know, the crossers, short crosser, deep crosser. I think he'll run a post. Okay. Even though I didn't really see him sell much cause he could beat guys with speed his whole life. I think maybe that's part of it. He'll just have to realize, okay, I just got to sell a little something at the, you know, before I take this route into the post.
He has to ask himself, do I want to be AJ Jenkins or do I want to be Mike Wallace?
Yeah.
And now, again, AJ Jenkins was a first round pick. So, I mean, you know, it's, but similar skill sets. And you go one way or the other based on where you are right now. And that doesn't mean that that's who you are. You can be a much better version of that, right? And I think the better version of AJ Jenkins is probably some version of Mike Wallace. And can you learn to be that and really utilize that speed and not just be a guy that has to run free in zones, but a guy that can win off the line of scrimmage versus man and vertically down the field and really learn to use that speed that you definitely have as a threat.
So I hope as far as 49ers speed guys under Kyle Shanahan, he's more like Marquise Goodwin statistically than Travis Benjamin. Travis Benjamin, I remember him not getting much run with the 49ers, like as far as passes going his way. Do you know how many catches he had last year for the 49ers? In his career for the 49ers?
Six.
The same amount as AJ Jenkins, zero. He was targeted five times, zero catches last year. I thought I remembered a couple catches at least.
You know, I think he had one in the playoffs.
Okay, there you go. He was involved in special teams, but zero catches in the regular season. Obviously, the year before, he sat out because of the COVID season. So that's all we got to
see. He was open downfield on one, and Jimmy Garoppolo was just late against the Bengals.
Yeah.
I mean, that should have been a touchdown.
That's the usage for Danny Gray early in his career is, you know, he's going to be the number four wide receiver, right? He's not going to walk into camp and be, and he'll probably start below that, but he's definitely not going to walk in his rookie season and be ahead of Debo or Ayuk or Juwan Jennings, right?
What do you think about McCloud?
Oh, yeah, McCloud's sort of the slot guy, depending on how the usage is. McCloud's going to definitely be up on game day returning kicks and stuff. So, you know, maybe even Danny Gray, unless he has a role on special teams, might not suit up at the beginning of his career, depending on,
you know, who else. I think he's going to be on the field. I don't want
to. If only four. I just want to say this just because if I don't want fans to be disappointed if he's not utilized a ton early. And I want to talk about how he will be used, but he's not going to be one of the top four. Because McCloud is going to be a returner and sort of slot guy. You got Jennings, you got Ayuk, you got Debo. There, I could envision games where they only dress four wide receivers. In that case, he's not going to dress. But gotcha. He should be the fifth guy then, right? And he's competing there on the roster with Keyshawn Johnson, who the 49ers signed to a futures deal. Connor Weddington, who's his biggest contribution to the 49ers was he put those clips from practice of Trey Lance on his social media that Javier Vega found. and Malik Turner and who's the other? Malik Turner and Marcus Johnson were the free agents that the 49ers signed as well this offseason, who Kyle Shanahan referenced. He says, you guys don't know him, but we signed some guys too. They're going to be pretty good. So I think he was talking about Malik Turner and Marcus Johnson, maybe Keyshawn Johnson as well. So there's a little competition at the bottom of the roster, but I think it's pretty darn clear who the five that are going to for sure make the team are, you know, injuries aside and knock on wood, hopefully there's no big injuries there, but it's Ayuk and Debo and Jennings and Ray McLeod and Danny Gray now. Those are the top five, and the rest of the guys are going to be battling for the last couple spots or the practice squad.
Right. And real quick, I do want to continue to stress the fact that I'm rooting for Danny Gray. I want him to become the best version of himself that he can be. I think when you possess that type of speed, you have a high upside just in general, or at least some type of role. You know, Ted Ginn Jr., you know, late, he started to figure it out kind of a little bit later in his career. Yeah. So, you know, when you see Ted Ginn on the 49ers, as opposed to Ted Ginn on Carolina and New Orleans, I think those were different versions of a guy that had legit vertical speed.
I don't hate the Ted Ginn comp, actually, for Danny Gray. That one didn't pop into my head. I was thinking Marquise Goodwin. I like the Mike Wallace one that you brought out there. I think that's a really good one. I think one way that Danny Gray will be better than Marquise Goodwin is Marquise Goodwin, despite his speed, wasn't great after the catch. I think Goodwin's a little bit better at like those dig routes and comebacks and some of those things, but he wasn't really hugely, you know, there was that one season where he was the starter all year and he had, let me pull it up here, 56 catches and 962 yards there in 2017 for the 49ers. And then they realized, well, he's probably not a starter after that. And it fell off pretty quickly with him statistically. And he didn't do much before that season either in Buffalo. In fact, that's the only season he ever had more than 430 yards receiving. It was that one year where he was a starter all year for the 49ers. But I like Danny Gray's ability with the ball in his hands as a runner better than Marquise Goodwin. And so I think that's where you envision what can he do right now? Rookie Danny Gray and Kyle Shanahan's offense, what can he do? He can run clear outs for sure because he's got that speed and he can put pressure on the team when he's actually going down the field. He can run crossers, and if Kyle Shanahan can get him open, he can make those catch and run plays, deep crosser. I think those are the ways he can immediately come in, and his skills can be utilized. And so I think there will be a handful of plays probably that Kyle Shanahan's like, look, this guy's got speed. Let's scheme up one of these deep balls, and it'll be a lot harder probably to overthrow him than maybe some other receivers that don't run 4-3-3.
And I can see him, you know, I can see right now, training camp starts, the one-on-one videos start coming out, and you see Danny Gray run down the sideline and catch some bombs. And that's going to excite fans, and I think that's going to excite Kyle Shanahan and probably Trey Lance, who will be throwing him some.
And
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Jimmy Garoppolo is going to love throwing to him in that soft spot in the zone and letting him do some work for him. He's going to love that. Yeah. Or we'll see the D'Amador Lenore video of him locking him up in press coverage and he doesn't let him off the line of scrimmage.
Oh man, there's a chance. I'm telling you, he has to improve his releases. And again, these are areas he can improve. You really have to put in the work though. Tyreek Hill, his rookie year, he actually had a good rookie year. It's kind of underrated. I think he had around 800 receiving yards. He called Keith Williams, aka Dub Williams, and said, I need to get with you. Where are you? I'll come to you. And Keith had been working out with training Devontae Adams, and really a bunch of other guys, and some guys with speed like Kenny Stills and guys like that. He got with him, and you see how much better Tyreek Hill got as a route runner. Now, I think the casual person would be like, oh, he's a speed guy. But someone that really watches, you'll see, like, man, he's got some terrific start stop. He's really good at the top of his routes. Like there are a lot of things that he worked on over the last few years, and you see him kind of take off as a pure receiver.
That is Danny Gray, and I would love to hear your scouting reports on him. Let us know what you think in the comments on YouTube or on Twitter at BD Peacock, at Eric_Crocker. Thanks for making us your first listen. We'll continue to go through all of the 49ers draft picks in 2022. Stay tuned for Weeky Wednesday, by the way, tomorrow. We'll see how Nick Winkler feels about the 49ers draft haul right here, Locked On 49ers.